the Rat Pack, the Misfits, Ocean's 11, 12, 13. Those are all like basically Vegas, but it's also in Nevada, which is where we're at today. United Foods of America, Nevada, or Nevada. No, not really. But anyways, the main thing is that it is a cool little state. It has an eclectic kind of genre of foods. And I know that looking back, you know, the second I got Nevada, I thought, man, like, what is their staple food? Like, is it just buffets? Well, we'll dig into that and figure it out. But I hope you guys are digging in to the Patreon. Yeah, you can join it for $3 a month to be a Convo Not Cadet. You can be a collaborator. You can pitch ideas for new episodes. You can give me things. Discord, you can shout out there for me. But yeah, it'll be great. And then we also have an advertising tier. So check that out. But yeah, United Foods of America, Nevada. I'm telling you what, it's exciting times there. Although I hope that everybody figures out what their genre is. If you do figure it out, make sure that you drop us a line at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com and we'll get a word from my sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. We're in the United Foods of America in Nevada. Or what's the other one that people
say? Nevada.
Oh, yeah, Nevada. Nevada, Nevada. Whatever it is, tomato, tomato, let's call the whole thing in the United Foods of America. Come with us. I'm here with my lovely wife, Kaylee.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. So any experience with Nevada? You grew up in Oregon, so any, like, a lot of people go to Nevada or?
I know there's a flight at the Medford Airport where Las Vegas is like 2.5 hours away or something like that, so it's a pretty quick flight.
So
you know, people down there will go fly for the weekend over there and then come back. But no, I've never been. I don't know, it might be fun to go one day, but it's not like at the top of my list.
Well, maybe after we go through these, it will move up to like 12.
Or, maybe.
Yeah, it could. You never know. Yeah, I'm glad you're getting adjusted. Get adjusted.
You gotta
get ready.
This chair's kind of uncomfortable, so.
A little bit. It's like the bottom pad's good, but the back is wobbly, well, it seems like.
The bottom doesn't fit my bottom, so I have to.
I'm going to move it around.
Not to brag. I have to adjust a lot.
Yeah.
So.
But, all right. Well, here with stateofdinner.com, going over famous food from Nevada, they had their Nevada State Facts. Nevada was the 36th state in the U.S. Not only that, but the most ancient human skeletons were found in Hidden Cave in 1949. And supposedly this little picture that we've got up is supposed to show, like, markings and stuff of where it was.
Like in the world?
Or
the U.S.?
Maybe just the U.S. Because I think the world, that was the Ethiopia.
Yeah, that would be, like, the African continent.
Yeah. But yeah, in America, the most ancient human skeletons were, or North America, would that be right? Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
America's. Yeah. But yeah, Las Vegas has more hotel rooms than any other city on earth.
Wow.
That kind of blew my mind. I'd think New York City.
That's crazy.
Paris.
London.
Yeah.
Rome.
Tokyo.
Somewhere.
And see, that's the other thing. Like Tokyo. I'm getting higher pitch now.
Why?
I'm just saying. Who was doing the counts? You know what I mean? It doesn't tell me, but Anyway, the Stratosphere Tower is the tallest freestanding observation deck in America. That I did not know that. Famous people from Nevada. This list is not very good. Patricia Ryan Nixon. So Richard Nixon's wife.
Okay. Next.
I don't know what she did. Andre Agassi. Now that's a good one. He had King Mullet in the 80s, part of the 90s. Then he went completely bald. Yeah, he took a lot of drugs. But he was a great tennis player. Andre Agassi. And then Jenna Malone. She's on TV shows and movies. That's her.
I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. She's done something recently that...
I feel like I've heard her name before, but I couldn't say, like, why.
I know. And it looks familiar, right? Like, yeah.
Not to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. The one that I know, granted it's specifically Las Vegas... is Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant, Major League Baseball players. They, I don't know if they were born in Nevada, but they grew up in the Las Vegas area.
Well, yeah. I just feel like it's one of those places, it's where people go to. It's not where they come from. Kind of like LA or a lot of the time like New York or something.
Yeah.
You know, people go to the big cities. They're not usually from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You go there, you make your mistakes, lose your money gambling, sell your ranch, and go somewhere else. Right? Yeah. Is that my experience?
No. We don't even have a house. How do you have a ranch?
Actually, you know what I was thinking of is that movie with Marilyn Monroe and
The Misfits.
Yeah, The Misfits. God, what a great movie. Amazing movie. Yeah. But yeah, they have to go to Nevada like so that she can get her divorce quicker. And yeah, oh man, it's crazy. Anyways, moving on. Going to the history of shrimp cocktail.
Nice.
This is one of Kaylee's favorites.
I love cocktail sauce, love shrimp, so
yeah.
It's meant to be.
Oh yeah. Famous food of Nevada is the shrimp cocktail. It was originally used at the Golden Gate Casino in Las Vegas as a way to draw in the crowds. As a matter of fact, more shrimp is sold in Las Vegas in a single day than the rest of the United States combined.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know what who's the doing heck? These counts. You know what I mean? Like
Las Vegas tourism board.
Probably. Yeah. But Taste Atlas, what they said about it... is that it is a shrimp or prawn cocktail, is a seafood dish consisting of cooked prawns. It is cooked. They're not raw.
No.
Served in a glass with cocktail sauce. The dish has vague origins, but a lot of people think that it is the Golden Gate Hotel and that they first used oysters in a glass with sauce. And it was the first to offer 50-cent shrimp cocktail in 1959. Yeah.
Because now that would be like, don't eat that.
Yeah.
You might get ill.
Yeah.
But
right. Yeah, if they sold it for 50 cents.
If, you know, the quality was the same as it would have been then, I'd order like 10 of these and that'd be $5.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy. Happy girl.
Yep. Shrimp cocktail was especially popular from 1960s to the 1980s. Yeah.
Because it's kind of like kitschy.
Yeah. And it's to like, be honest.
Why did you use a cocktail glass
to put food in? And it holds a little shrimpy. It holds a little shrimpy. Like,
that's what I mean is it's not typical. It's very like,
Yeah.
Like food and Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
what I was going to say is like, it's a great starter. It's a good appetizer, shrimp cocktail, you know? It's a good side, you know? It
shouldn't be a meal.
No.
Because you only get, like, 3-4 shrimp or whatever, but...
Yeah. But, yeah. And then State of Dinner, they go back to the history of prime rib. Yeah. prime rib. Yeah. There are not many foods more synonymous with Nevada than prime rib. There are world-famous restaurants here that specialize in prime rib, and you can go to one of the many buffets, both on and off the strip, that offer prime rib at dinner time. The first restaurant in Las Vegas to offer prime rib was the Last Frontier. They introduced this dish in 1942 and charged only $1.50. Wow. With that price, you still have plenty of money left over for gambling.
I think one of the main reasons I want to go to Vegas is to eat.
Yeah, just the food.
There's a lot of different chefs and restaurants and stuff there, and of course all the buffets.
Oh man.
Like there's that one video of Keith from the Try Guys. Yeah. He was in Vegas. He went to like really fancy buffet. I can't remember what hotel.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Caesar's or if it was a different one.
I think it was Caesar's. I don't know. But it looked so good.
Yeah.
There were all sorts of different foods, like cuisines, and it looked awesome.
It's like the globe's food shows up in that one city.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. And then back to the beef, everybody, because I'm a beefy boy. Bone-in ribeye steak. Yeah. And this is from Food Network. Taste Atlas had one thing, and it was shrimp cocktail. That was it. The rest of it, they're like, guys, you can't take claim to this, Nevada. You can't do it. Perhaps no dish in Nevada says more than a juicy steak. It's a favorite of ranchers and the Rat Pack. Yeah. Old ratty boys. There's no better place to enjoy a classic cut than the Golden Steer, founded in Las Vegas in 1958, butchering USDA prime-aged beef daily. The traditional Vegas steakhouse serves some of the juiciest broiled bone-in ribeyes in the business to diners seated in the same red leather banquettes once occupied by the likes of Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley.
I think that's another reason I want to go to Vegas, is there's a lot of mid-century influence there. And there's a neon museum, like the history of neon signs, and it looks really cool.
It does. And it's like in the desert. Like it's just out there,
they
you
have
know.
Really cool like car shows and stuff that you can go to. Yeah. And I guess they have a lot of beef.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. They got a lot
of cows. So if you like beef.
The next one here, like Kaylee mentioned already, the casino buffets.
Those look good.
Yeah, those like little desserts. Chocolates. Yeah, little petite fours and
chocolate pops.
Little macaron on a stick. The No Limit Spread, initially known as Chuck Wagon Buffet, has evolved far beyond the ubiquitous hand-carved prime rib station and rows of chafing dishes. Chaffing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. From the original mid-century spreads, these days for quality, variety, and sheer excess, it's hard to beat Caesar's Palace.
That's where he went.
The Bacchanal. Bacchanal
Keith
Buffet.
Went.
Redesigned in 2012 to offer more than 500 daily items through 9 different kitchens, the Las Vegas Buffet includes enough to satisfy pretty much any appetite, including king crab legs, smoked pork belly, made-to-order crepes, and dazzling desserts. Look at these.
Well, and I think it costs, you know, quite a bit. More compared to a regular buffet. It's like $80, $90 or something.
Yeah.
But for what you're getting, like you're getting king crab, you're getting all sorts of meats and other dishes, like...
It's got to be one of the only places in the world that you could get like mashed potatoes, biscuits and gravy and sushi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy the dynamics there.
Just, you know, save your appetite for this meal and it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
You can indulge in everything you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy to think 500 items. So you're doing
prep. Every day.
Yeah. Every day. But yeah, it's $80 to $90. You have a 2-hour time limit. I remember them talking mm-hmm. about that. That is, like, hilarious. Yeah. That there's people.
Shove it in your gullet.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours.
You're sitting there, and you're just slowly eating for 2 hours. That's what Biscuit would do. That's, yeah.
I mean, this looks so much better than the buffets we got here, so.
Oh, man. I miss Midwestern buffets. Like, yeah. Really bad. But anyways, we move on to what is actually really bad. The awful, awful. Yeah, that's right. It's called the awful, awful burger because it's awfully big and awfully good.
It looks good. What yeah. is that bread?
Like, it's like onion or cheddar, right? It's like an onion or cheddar bun. The deliciously satisfying hamburger and fries combo known as the awful, awful has achieved legendary status since its 1953 debut at the Nugget Diner on Reno's main drag. Its inventor, Dick Graves, specified that it had to have crisp lettuce, garden fresh tomato, and a slice each of mild Bermuda onion and nippy cheese. The late night mainstay features a half pound of ground chuck grilled to order and served on an onion bun atop a full pound of crisp seasoned
A full
fries.
Pound of fries.
A pound of
oh
fries.
Oh my gosh, that looks so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Well, I'm glad you think that it looks amazing because I was looking up, like, how do you make this? Where do you go for it? Where, you know, they said the main drag and all this stuff. I was like, I want to see the restaurant. Like, if they're making stuff like this, the pandemic took another life.
No, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I haven't even tried it.
I know.
We don't live that far.
I know. And it's not a chain, like, at all. Local Nevada residents were going there in droves.
Oh.
To get the last awful awfuls, and they were sad about it. There was a lot of people.
I'm
there.
Sad. I've never yeah. been.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm like really mad right now.
You could make it on your own, but it's not the same. You know, it's
I'm
not the
not
same.
The chef in yeah. this household.
I mean, it just a pound of fries. I mean, that's.
I mean, that's my
and
they're
shoestring too.
One
like,
of
look
my
at that.
Favorite oh. foods is French
yeah.
fries.
Yeah, is the potato.
I love potatoes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But a Nevada special, I'm guessing specifically like Vegas and Reno, all you can eat sushi. Yeah, they call it ACE. A-Y-C-E, all you can eat. Yeah, ACE. Ace sushi.
Shouldn't it be like aces?
Ice. If you're Australian. Yeah. But it was first introduced to the state's larger cities in the late 1980s. All-you-can-eat sushi has since become a bona fide Nevada institution. In Las Vegas, hungry devotees flock to Sushimon, which opened in 2001 and wins raves for the freshness and breadth of its menu, comprising of nigiri, cut-in-hand rolls, and side dishes like garlic edamame, and desserts that include a luscious lychee sorbet. Time limits and no sharing rules ensure that the packed tables turn over at a steady pace.
I think you'd really like this.
Oh, I'd go
place.
Nuts
like
in here.
You
yeah.
would fully
yeah.
enjoy the 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'd go to that other place that closed down.
Well, you could keep getting like the little appetizers and see if they have
that's
noodles.
Not fun, though.
Noodles. They could
that's
have
not
noodles.
Fun, though. If I'm going to a buffet, I want variety.
Right.
I don't want to eat just two things because I'm picky.
Yeah. Well, here, I've got a link to Sushimon.
I mean, I will say I'm not as picky as I used to be, but there are some things I still just don't like sushi.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you buy glasses one time, and you're going to get a million ads for glasses. Sushimon, let me see here. Sushimon.com. You got, their website Ooh. Isn't even there. Did the pandemic take another life? Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, man. Food Network. They got to update their list, I think. You know, granted, I could have maybe gone through, but it's like, I'm not researching Yelp for this stuff. It's general stuff. This is what it's supposed to be for. It's general stuff. Anyway, back to the fun list of things. All you can eat sushi. As you know, I get multiple rolls usually when we get sushi.
Yeah.
Definitely a like mainstay of mine is doing that.
I love it, not only that, but
the eel, love eel. But yeah, the next one here, instead of killing the worst, ugliest fish or crab you've ever seen, they kill a majestic elk. Because that's an elk chop, which elk is delicious. They're gracious animals, but they're also delicious. Every year, thousands of Nevadans participate in the annual elk hunt, sometimes remaining in hot pursuit for weeks at a time. For those interested in a more direct approach to dinner, Edgewood Restaurant in State Line offers a scrumptious seared New Zealand elk chop. It is accompanied by Swiss spatzel and a sweet tart sun-dried cherry relish. Wow. Yeah, and it's over by Lake Tahoe.
Oh.
And it's visible through the dining room's floor-to-ceiling windows.
So this isn't exactly Las Vegas. Sorry, it's Nevada. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Nevada.
It's the whole state. Yeah. We've just been talking about Vegas so much.
I know, yeah. The next one here, after you eat your elk chop and you're like, I want to impress this guy or gal, let's get a good dessert. Get the Western Sunday, everybody. Mm. Look at that.
That looks really good.
Oh, yeah. With the temperatures of a Las Vegas summer regularly lingering above the century mark for weeks on end, generations of residents have cooled off with a trip to Love It Frozen Custard. Yeah, that's right. Frozen custard, everybody. A modest mom-and-pop shop serving up cups of chili goodness since 1973, made daily with fresh cream and eggs, the dense, smooth frozen concoction is best showcased, and the Western Sundae. It is topped with drizzles of hot fudge and caramel, a sprinkle of pecans and cherry. Yeah. Look at that.
All I gotta say is if you haven't had frozen custard and, you know, you eat dairy, you gotta eat this. Like,
yeah.
Frozen custard changed my life.
Yeah. Frozen custard is, I mean, Midwest staple, right? But
when I went to, I guess it was the second time. The furthest I've been is Missouri, believe it or not. And the second time I went to Missouri was with you.
Yeah.
To see some of your family. And it was fall 2019. And you were like, oh, let's try frozen custard. And I'm like, okay. And we had it at
Drizzy's or something like that. Dizzy's. I can't remember.
Yeah, we had it two different places. And, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like.
Blows your socks off.
I was speechless.
Yeah.
It was so, so good.
Yeah. If you're wearing your shoes really tight or your boots super tight, watch out. Yeah, they're going to fall off because your socks are getting blown off. Like, they're just.
It's, so, yeah. It's just so much better than regular ice cream.
Yeah. Unless it's Tillamook.
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a future episode, maybe. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We're back from our technical difficulties.
Devin had too many tabs open.
Yeah. Yeah, guys.
Because he's been obsessed with AI.
Hey.
For like 24 hours.
Listen.
And it's.
Listen.
I don't like it.
Don't let them know that I've been doing that. That's like, it's top secret.
No, it's not.
For the AI, it is.
Stop.
Yeah,
anyway,
no, I have
too
been.
Many tabs been open. He's been talking to AI for everything.
Long time.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And I got some Moscato. Yay.
Yay. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, back, we saw the Western Sundae. We know what it's all about. Kaylee was talking about custard.
Yeah, frozen custard.
Yeah,
the
how
best.
Great it was. But we're moving on to the lamb shank. Mm,
is that Jello? Like
it's,
a Jello cup?
It's mint jelly, I believe.
Okay, it's Jello.
It looks like Jello. Yeah, but I think it's mint jelly. Anyways, lamb is the soul of Basque American cuisine, a nod to the sheep herding industry that brought floods of Basque immigrants to Nevada beginning more than a century ago. Hotels known as Ostatok established the family-style dining tradition still common to Basque restaurants throughout the northern Nevada, including Winnemucca's historic 1898 Martin Hotel, where lamb shanks are roasted with rosemary, thyme, garlic, and other seasonings, then braised in a wine-infused elixir. Yeah. That, man, pretty good. Pretty good. I like lamb. Kaylee does not like lamb.
I've had it once or twice, and I don't know. I don't care for it.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one here, another thing coming over from the other side of the water. Cornish pasty. That's right. Oh. Yeah. Miners from Cornwall, England, first introduced Nevadans to the handheld meat pie known as the pasty back in the 19th century, when workers needed portable nourishment for long days spent deep in the mines, especially of the Comstock Lod, a savory mixture of meat, potatoes, and seasonings folded into a flaky pastry crust. The traditional beef pasty lives on BJ Bull Bakery in Elko. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Joined by inventive fillings like chicken curry and chili verde.
I mean, this has chicken, this has potatoes, this has a pastry. This is right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right up there.
This one YouTuber, I think I've talked about her before, who lives in London. She, whenever she goes to like the grocery stores or Harrods or Fortnum and Mason or whatever, there's always these sections of beige bits. Like beige picky bits is what they call like snacks or appetizers over there, I think. And it's always stuff like that, like sausage rolls and little hand pies. And of course, that's like the best stuff.
That's the best stuff.
Maybe not best for you, but best tasting.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's usually fried, baked, it's dough, something.
It's got starch. Yeah, it's got starch. Sometimes got meat.
Yeah.
Got cheese.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The next one here, it's got all that as well. The chorizo sandwich. Yeah.
That bread looks good.
It does, doesn't it? Born on the Spanish side of the Basque or Basque homeland.
It's Basque, I think. Basque.
Pete Coscarart started handcrafting chorizo in Battle Mountain in 1984. The delectable air-dried sausage made of pork shoulder with paprika, garlic, and other spices figures prominently into Via Basque Cafe, the restaurant he and his wife Martha founded in Carson City in 1997. Grilled, butterflied, and served hot, the chorizo shines on a simple sandwich topped with mild Ortega chilies and pimentos on a locally baked French roll.
Yeah.
So kind of like a banh mi. French roll. Yeah, French roll.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Specifically a Vegas Strip institution. The 3 a.m. steak and eggs. Yeah, that's right. Known lovingly as Stegs, the no-frills late-night, early-morning steak and eggs plate is a cherished ritual for casino workers, tourists, and night owls alike. Among the many 24-hour diners near the Las Vegas Strip, the Ellis Island Cafe rises to the top. Established in 1968, it's got a generously sized New York strip, two eggs, toast, and potatoes, all for a price hovering at or below $10.
Stegs.
Stegs. Yeah. Yeah. What do you want? 3 a.m. steak and eggs.
Stegs.
Stegs. Yeah.
I don't know why. That's really funny to me.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. And then, obviously, like we talked about earlier, the world's cuisine shows up to Vegas's door. Crispy duck with Penang.
Hmm.
Yeah. Although Thai food may not immediately come to mind when thinking of Nevada, the crispy duck at Lotus of Siam, which is like one of the best restaurants in the U.S., period, in Las Vegas, has truly achieved iconic status. Under the watchful eye of chef owner and James Beard Foundation Award winner Saipin Chutima, this Northern Thai specialty is a flavor sensation spotlighting tender duck with delicately crispy skin and a sweet, salty cognac-infused red cream curry sauce. It may be the best food you'll ever eat in a strip mall. Hmm. Yeah.
Have you had duck?
I have had duck before, but not like that.
I don't know what it tastes like. I've only ever had like duck fat
right
cooked
Yeah.
Potatoes.
It comes off red meaty, but it's got a little bit of gaminess to it. I don't want to say gamey like, you know, fattier chicken or something, but it's something that reminisces to that, almost like chicken gizzard in a way. Yeah. And it's been a long time since I've had it as well.
Yeah.
And so I say that description and some people might be like, Devin, that is not duck. And I'll be like, okay. But yeah, I'll probably be told that I've been sipping too much pecan punch. Yeah. pecan punch, although a fixture at Basque restaurants. Are you guys getting the hint that the theme is Basque? It's very popular in Nevada.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Pecan punch is a distinctly American invention and the unofficial Nevada state drink. Originating around 1900, the potent aperitif begins with a scoop of ice cream and a foundation of herbal amer pecan, or Torani amer, and a splash of grenadine, followed by brandy, optional club soda, and a lemon twist. The Basque-owned Star Hotel in Elko serves them up nightly on a bar that dates to 1910. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Looks fruity.
It does.
Kind of like sangria-ish.
Yeah. And I said a scoop of ice cream. It's a scoop of ice.
Oh, well, that could be good. Yeah.
I don't know. sorry about that, everybody. Now, to kind of get back to the food game, the thing that, like, this is a food that I would probably eat too much of, regret it, but then as the night went on, I'd want more. Mushroom raviolis. Yeah. Mention mushroom ravioli to any Reno resident and you're likely to get one word response. El Dorado. Yeah, drawing from their northern Italian heritage, members of the Carano family serve their signature pasta at La Strada, which is a movie. It's the street. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the flagship restaurant inside the El Dorado Resort Casino, adjacent to the famous Reno Arch, the celebrated dish features a rich filling made from dried porcini mushrooms imported from Italy, nestled inside pillowy house-made ravioli, all drenched in a velvety porcini cream sauce. Oh, yeah. Underrated porcini, like, mushroom sauce, Olive Garden. Mm. Very good mushroom sauce.
Olive Garden's probably my favorite chain restaurant.
Wow.
Like
I think a lot of
people
just hit stop and they jumped away from this podcast.
No. So the the main reason isn't even the food. It's because they have a watermelon sangria Moscato.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is the most refreshing tasty drink I've had. If I could take out, like, you know, certain restaurants, you can buy like a gallon of a drink that they sell. If I could buy gallons of that, I would.
Yeah.
And there's been no other place I've been to
that has it. Yeah.
And so that's why it kind of has a special place in my heart. But I also used to go there a lot when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody goes with like their parents, grandparents,
family.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the meal, they give you Andes Mints, which is one of my favorite candies.
Nice touch.
So
nice touch.
But anyway.
If there's anything you get from the show, Convenance, all I can say is this. Have your opinions about Olive Garden. It is very American Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
It's not authentic at all.
Like, it's like a theme park of American Italian food.
The shrimp. Frita?
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Holy crap. That's
but
good.
Anyways, hold on. We're getting distracted.
Sorry.
All right. The one thing I can tell you, like if I read in a newspaper that the Culinary Convo podcast caused the biggest disturbance ever at an Olive Garden, I hope that the next part of that headline is because Olive Garden's drinks are on point. And
they're lit.
They're good.
Lit.
Yeah, they're good, period. Whether they add too little or too much alcohol, it doesn't matter. Either way, their drinks taste great. I don't know who their sommelier type cocktail maker. I don't know. They're good drinks. They are. They taste really, really good. Anyways, moving on, because, you know, we could sit here all day talking about OG. Okay. But the next one here, tamales.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. Vendors in Nevada's larger town started hawking tamales around 1900, but the past few decades.
Well, there is fat in them.
There is. There's quite a bit. Yeah. Has the state been treated to authentic preparations handed down through the generations? Some of the best can be found at the Lady Tamales, a tiny shop run by Fidelina Suarez in Carson City. Moist and bursting with flavor, the pork and chicken tamales swathed in masa and steamed in corn husks balance beautifully with a piquant house-made tomatillo sauce.
Sounds salsa. So good.
Anyway.
Love tamales.
So, as you can tell by these foods, you're probably thinking, Devin, Mr. Culinary Convo, all of these foods I've had in other states. You know that, right? Like, I've had steak in another state. I've had tamales in other states. I've had a shrimp cocktail. It went worldwide. Like, I get it. It got popularized there. All-you-can-eat sushi? There's a place in Oregon that has all-you-can-eat sushi. So why? Like, what's going on here? Are you putting the wool over my eyes? What's going on here? Well, let me tell you, Alicia M. Barber, who helped write the article for Food Network, talking about Nevada's iconic dishes. Yeah. This is what she said in her article, and I kind of agree with her. This may cause Nevada to, I don't know, completely divest from culinary convo. But she says, late last year, I was invited to contribute a feature for foodnetwork.com, Iconic Dishes of Nevada and Where to Find Them. Defining Nevada's iconic dishes has always been something of a challenge, and I've taken it on to varying degrees in the past as a columnist for Edible Reno Tahoe and an occasional impassioned bourbon-fueled late-night conversations with friends. The Silver State doesn't have any obvious cuisine, like, say, Louisiana, who can't rattle off 10 iconic Louisiana dishes in 30 seconds, or Maine with lobster, crab cakes, blueberries. The difficulty of identifying regional dishes is not unusual in the American West, whose population has long been comprised of a mix of diverse native and immigrant groups, none especially dominant since statehood. But that's no consolation with the clock ticking away toward a deadline and a blank screen staring you in the face. So what's a food-loving cultural historian to do? And she says you have to take the word iconic to heart. She thought about the dishes that many associate with Nevada, right? So for a number of reasons, foods connected to varying aspects of the state's culture, from casinos to ranching to mining. So basically what people do. So from Native American to Basque and iconic dishes found at some of the state's most beloved restaurants. She says in this last paragraph here, which she's a great writer. And so after several months researching eateries, chatting with chefs and staff, savoring bites and sips and securing photos of all those tasty tidbits, we have a list. It may not be definitive, but it hopefully speaks to the eclecticism that is the Nevada culinary landscape. And I hope it will inspire others to embark upon their own foodie tours of Nevada. And if you happen to get down to Dirty Dick's Saloon in Belmont for their signature Bloody Mary, tell Diana I said hi. Hope Diana's still working there. You will see Joel Burkhart there soon because he loves Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but I agree with her assessment, even because I tried to think like, okay, this is where you get to go outside the box. You're going to look around and see. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of chefs that go there. None of these chefs are from Nevada, though. So it's like, what is Nevada's cuisine? Like, what produce do they have that like other states don't have? Like, what is going on? Man, we went there and we mined the entire state and then we put some casinos around and it seems like we left it there. Like, that's what's kind of happened. So that is Nevada. And that doesn't mean don't go to Nevada. I agree with her. Go to Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
See all the stuff that's there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But next time we're going to be going to a neighbor state. Not here, but where I grew up, Illinois.
Oh.
Yeah. My cat, Benny, just jumped up because he knows that I need my emotional support animal.
Have you been to Illinois?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Illinois is one of those things where it's like, hey, look, Chicago. And then the rest of the state.
Yeah.
It could be Nebraska.
That's all I know.
It could
be
Indiana. It could be Iowa. You have no idea. And then Chicago. And then there's a lake out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's that. I mean, Benny, yeah, I know. I know, bud. He's trying to get.
He's like, I want steak. I want all the steak.
He's like, give me all the steak. He's like, I heard a lot of beef talk in here.
Yeah, I love beef.
Love beef. Guys, please give me beef. Oh, and now he's laying on the keyboard.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, what did you think of Nevada?
Yeah, I've always kind of known that. There's just, it's like, I'm trying to think of how to word it. It's like I was saying earlier, it's a place that people aren't necessarily from there.
Yeah.
They go there, but then they make a life there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they bring their foods from wherever they might have come from.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Like the Basque.
Yeah, you know. The Basque, yeah. And even there's some, like, British, Irish there. I don't think it really touched upon it, but there's a lot of Native American foods there.
Alicia
as well.
Mentioned that, but the list did not.
Yeah. And so it just, I don't know. It's really cool when a place just has so many different pieces of identities from all over the world.
Yeah.
And it just adds so much more variety
to
life. It's like, oh, one night I can have steak and potatoes, which is like an American or UK kind of thing. And then the next night you can have Basque food. The next night you can have
crispy duck.
Yeah. You can have Thai food. And so I still would like to go to Nevada one day, and I am a person that says Nevada. I don't know if it's because I'm from Oregon or what. But yeah, you're right. It's not high on my list still. Yeah. It would be a nice impulsive trip, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not too far away, but it's not in Oregon. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
A long weekend of gambling and eating and neon signs.
I mean, I'm still trying to get over the whole fear and loathing in Las Vegas, you know, that whole thing. So it's, yeah. But we will see everybody next time in Illinois on a United Foods of America. Benny's going to knock my camera over. Oh my gosh. But we will see everybody. Thank you, Kaylee, for joining me.
Yeah.
And we will see everybody next time. Thank you for sitting through the technical difficulties. That's the last jingle. My mom has told me I can't sing anymore. She said, don't sing at the end of these episodes.
Hold on. If you like Devin singing, please leave comments. Send emails to the Culinary Combo email and say, please don't stop singing.
Right.
But if we hear nothing in the next, like, week or whatever, he will stop.
Yeah.
So I have to live with it. He sings all the time. So
I do.
I have to live with it. But if you don't want to hear it, or if you do want to hear it, then
let us know.
Follow those instructions.
Yeah. I expect to hear from Linda Yoga Girl. Yes. Please. Yeah.
Let me know. She's our number one fan.
Yeah, number one fan.
Appreciate that.
It's great. You know, but actually, I definitely got to say Convenant Dylan, supporting the pod. So, yeah, either one. You know, they're doing a lot of things. So, anybody want to get a shout out, let me know. Once again, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, you want to watch us on YouTube, make sure the newsletter, I tell you what future episodes are going to be. I send you videos. I send you the research and stuff that I've fallen into. You can see more images of the cats.
Do you like Pinterest?
He has Pinterest links. Yeah, I put all the recipes on there, including recipes that I like in there, along with other little behind-the-scenes videos. Yeah, it's all great. And so make sure you go to culinaryconvo.com, go to our merch store. Do you hear, like, how many things I have? I have so many things. And go to Patreon. Yeah. And yeah, become a cadet convonaut or become a collaborator or become a VIP. That is at $10 a month. Or you can do the advertising, $20 a month. Yeah. So $240 a year and I advertising and all of those things. Yeah. I'm everywhere. So please do that. Come by, let us know, and drop us a line at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. My cat is somewhat chunky. He's on a blanket. We'll see everybody next time in Illinois. Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.